Amen. We give honor to all that honor is due. We thank God for being here. We thank God for being on the Lord's side. Isn't God good? Amen. Amen. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for being on the Lord's side today. Not by anything I did, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. Give him all the glory, all the honor. Amen. Amen. And I do want to say it's good to see you all. I love you all, and I miss you all when you're not here. So I just thank God for you. And yeah, I may have sent out a couple texts. But see, Brother Fred, the Bible did tell us to go out into the highways and the hedges, right? And compel them to come. Well, back in those days, they didn't have no cell phones. They actually had to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. But thank God I didn't have to do that, but I used what I had to compel them to come. Amen. Why? Because they're family and I miss them. Amen. We love them. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. And I thought about doing it last night, but sometimes when you give people too much time to think about it, you know, they can talk themselves out of doing something. Amen. So I said, Lord, I'm just going to hit them this morning, and if you want them here, they'll be here. Amen. And I just thank God for you. Amen. I thank God for you. And I do want to say, too, that many of you may not know, you know, Patterson does a lot of work for us around this church. Even when you don't see him all the time, he's helping us. Amen. Whenever Al calls him, he's here. Whenever I call him, he's here. Whatever he needs, whatever we need from him, he's always just accommodating. He just says yes and just helps us. So I thank you for that, brother. Amen. And we thank all of you for all the things that you guys do. Let's go to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians, the third chapter. And you know, I'm stuck on this liberation thing. I think I love the name of this church, Greater Love in Christ Church. Amen. But if I had another name for a church, I might call it the Liberated Church in Christ. Amen. Because again, I think there's too many people living in bondage within the church. Amen. And I'm here to tell you that God never meant it to be that way. Never did he mean it to be that way. Amen. So when we look at Galatians, the third chapter, y'all got it? I'm reading from NIV version. It says, "You foolish Galatians," with an exclamation point, "who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Paul says, "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" Did you hear that question? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? He again says to them, "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" Have you experienced so much in vain if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? And the sixth verse says, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's Galatians, the third chapter, the first six verses. That's Paul writing, and he's got some questions for these people. Amen? And it sounds like he's not very happy. Amen? Sounds like he's a little perplexed by their actions. Amen? So I ask a question today as we ponder these verses. What is more important to you? What Jesus has done for you or what you do for God? What's more important to you? What Jesus has done for you or what you do for God? From its very beginning, the church has really only had one mission, one God-given assignment, to point people to Jesus and inspire them to live the cross-shaped life. Amen? From its beginning, the church was to be unique from every other religious institution that came before it or would come after it, because it was never to be centered around religion. And getting people to be religious, it was centered around a relationship and trying to get people to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Even in the early days of the church, a problem cropped up that is still, unfortunately, with us today after all these years. The church was meant to be centered around the message that focused on three things, three words: God, grace, gospel. Amen? It would be the most revolutionary message that ever would be, has been, or will be declared. Simply put, the gospel is everyone can have a relationship with God and be accepted by God because of his grace. Let me say that again. Simply put, the gospel is everyone can have a relationship with God and be accepted by God because of his grace. Grace was provided by the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus. Amen? Now, even in the early church, there were religious leaders that came in and, to God, grace, and gospel, wanted to add rules, regulations, and restrictions. They wanted to add them to God, grace, and gospel. Rules, regulations, and restrictions. So a battle was joined between the relationship crowd and the religion crowd. And guess what? It's still going on today. Today, amongst Christians in every church around, it's still going on today. People have left the church in droves because they were either given the idea or got the idea that following God is all about a bunch of do's and don'ts, and untold numbers of people won't even darken the door of the church because they have this image that all the church cares about is to follow their rules, abide by their regulations, and obey their restrictions. You don't have to say amen. You talk to people every day. What do they tell you? When you talk to people, why you don't come to church? It's usually in there somewhere. Amen? Rules, regulations, and restrictions. Basically, what we've done is we've canceled people out. We've made it so, we made them feel like they can't attain what we have to offer. So they get frustrated. They get down on their luck because they figure, you know, I came here for help, and y'all making me feel so much worse than I did when I came in here. So let me just go back to what I know, because at least I know these phonies out here. They can lie to me, they can do, I know how to deal with them, but you guys, I thought it was different. I'm not talking about us, I'm just talking about. That is what is going on in this letter from Galatians. Paul had taken this beautiful message of God, grace, and gospel to an area that is now modern-day Turkey, to a community that was filled with Gentile unbelievers. He shared with them a revolutionary message that God wanted to accept them into his family by grace, and the only ticket they needed was faith. The door had been opened by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, dying on a cross and coming back from the dead. To be clear, that does not mean that grace gives you the liberty to live any way you want to. It actually gives you the power and the liberty to live the way you ought to. How about that? Amen? To live the way you ought to. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to do anything. Nothing to be accepted by God. But once you are accepted by God, you will want to do the right thing. You will have a desire on the inside to please him. Thank you, Jesus. There were some people called, I guess they called them Judaizers. They were Jews who had professed faith in Christ, but they came into the church and said, basically, Jesus is not enough. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law. You've got to obey the commandments, or God will not accept you. By the way, these folks added a great number of their own commandments to the list. So not only did they say you have to obey all these rules, they added more stuff to it. So now you got a whole big long list of things that you got to live up to. Amen? Free. That's what we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Because the whole point of the Bible, because of God, the grace of God, and the gospel of God, we are free from the shackles of legalism. Our acceptance of God is not up to our performance. Our acceptance of God is based on his provision. We don't have to be good enough for God. Because, truth be told, we can never be good enough for God. But Jesus was good enough for all of us. All of us. Look at somebody, say all of us. That means you too. Jesus was good enough for all of us. Once we accept Jesus and his free gift of grace through faith in him, God completely and totally accepts us for who we are. Amen? So the next time you're feeling like you don't belong, the next time you're feeling like you're not measuring up, the next time you feel like you can't live up to this thing we call church, remind yourself that God has accepted you just as you are. Amen? Glory to God. It's important because people will put rules and regulations on you, and the enemy is constantly trying to remind you of your shortcomings. You see how these things go together? And next thing you know, you're depressed. You're feeling down. You don't feel, maybe I shouldn't go to church. Maybe I just can't do it. But the church is supposed to be, look at somebody say supposed to be, all about redemption and reconciliation. That's what the church is supposed to be. There has always been a movement to turn it back to religion, which is all about rules, regulations, and restrictions. And don't get me wrong, some of these rules, are not bad. They're the law. A lot of them are good for you. If you can live up to them, God bless you. You know, but you got to understand who you are in Christ. Not long before Muhammad Ali passed, he was asked about what he saw in his future, and he said this: I just want to get to heaven, and I've got to do a lot of good deeds to get there. That's a lot of pressure, ain't it? Fred, have you done enough good deeds to get to heaven? Paulette, you done enough good deeds to get to heaven? You still got some work to do? Oh, Lord, well, I don't know how much longer you think you got. Better get doing those good deeds. Huh? Once you make the statement that I've got to do anything to be accepted by God, you just took an exit off the freeway of freedom that leads you into a dead end of slavery. The reason why Paul is so upset, the drumbeat that Paul is sounding throughout this book, is my performance has nothing to do with God's acceptance. My acceptance is based on God's provision of grace through Jesus Christ. Will you please hear me today? Whenever people hear rules, regulations, and restrictions instead of God, grace, and the gospel, people leave the church for the same reason people get a divorce. They fall in love with an ideal, which then becomes an ordeal, and then they want a new deal. Amen? The way that God starts with you is the way you finish with him. Don't change the rules in mid-game. You start with God through his grace and your faith, and that is the way you finish. The way that you avoid the shackles of legalism and continue to breathe the fresh air of liberty that the gospel brings, you should always do three simple things. And the first thing is look to the Son. Paul is being both a compassionate pastor and a wise counselor. He realizes there is always going to be a struggle in really believing and accepting that God accepts us just because of his grace, and it has nothing to do with how good we are. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we all have a hard time with that sometimes. Amen? Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp the fact that he accepts me for who I am. Why? Because I know who I am, and I'm not good enough. I fall short. And it's hard for me, you know, it's hard for us to accept the fact that he loves us anyway. Amen? It's hard for us sometimes to understand that he looks past our faults and sees our needs. We're looking at our faults. And we're saying to ourselves, oh, if you look at your faults long enough, you'll be miserable. You'll be upset. You will be sad looking at your faults. Jesus ain't looking at your faults. He's looking at your needs. Amen? Ain't no faults too hard for God. Everyone's got them. He's looking past that. He's not even looking at that. He's looking at your need. What does my sister need right now? What does my brother need right now? Amen? He is appealing not just to their heads, but to their heart, Paul is. You will see immediately that he's frustrated because he was crystal clear in the message that he preached, and they heard it, and now they're confused. Right? Every preacher's experienced that, right? I thought y'all got it, but I guess not. Amen? Y'all said amen, so I thought y'all were saying yes, but maybe you're just saying that because that's what you do in church. Amen? You just wanted to be, that's what everybody else is saying, so amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I don't understand a thing he's saying, but amen. Glory to God. Right? Walk out of here, boy, we had a good time in church today. Yeah, what they talk? I don't know. We had a good time, though. I feel better. Amen? It ain't just about how you feel. Get something out of it. Amen? I say it all the time. Your time is valuable. None of us have time to waste. We all got things we could be doing. But God brought you here for this couple hours, some of y'all hour and a half, some of y'all hour and 15 minutes, some of y'all an hour. But whatever time he brought you here, make up in your mind and say, you know what? My time is valuable. I don't just waste time. I ain't got time to waste. If I'm gonna be here, Lord, help me to get something either out of the songs, out of the message, out of the prayers, out of the testimonies. Lord, help me get something that I can walk out that door with, because I know life's waiting for me when I get out there. All the trouble's waiting for me. All the problems are waiting for me. So Lord, help me get something so when I walk out the door, I can handle it like you would have me to handle it. Amen? Because if you just walk out of here feeling good, but don't get nothing, as soon as something bad happens, there goes the feeling good. You ain't feeling good no more. Amen? You mad now, you sad now, you ain't got no feelings no more because that's all you had was a feeling. Get something. Paul said, you foolish Galatians. Call them foolish. He was upset. He said, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Paul had clearly preached on how Jesus had done everything necessary on the cross for them to be accepted by God, freed them from the notion that somehow they had to be good enough for God, and now they are being tempted to go right back into the slavery of legalism and law-keeping. So two words to pay attention to. He calls them foolish. That word literally means without knowledge or reason. First, he appeals to their head. He says, in effect, you are being illogical and unreasonable. Once you truly understand who Jesus is, and not only that he died on the cross, and what he did on the cross was to make one full final payment for all of our sins, and gave us an absolutely free ticket that always grants us access to God, it makes absolutely no sense to add anything else to Jesus or to rescind or amend his free offer of grace. In other words, once you truly experience Christ, you don't want to add to him or turn away from him. Why would they even think about doing that? So he appealed to their head. Now he appeals to their heart. He says, you have been bewitched. Bewitched is an interesting word. It means to look at with an evil eye or to cast an evil spell. If you are under a spell, you are not thinking the way you ought to think. You are not seeing things the way you ought to see them. The vast majority of this world has been bewitched with a spell that they can earn their way to God, that they can work their way to God, and that if they keep enough rules, abide by enough regulations, affect enough restrictions, then God will accept them. And there are two problems with that. The first problem is, if that is true, then it makes Jesus dying on the cross meaningless and, in fact, makes it foolish. If that's true. There can only be one reason why God would not only allow Jesus to die on the cross, but would send Jesus to die on the cross. It is because you cannot earn your way to God. You cannot work your way to God. You will never be enough for God. The other problem is it puts you in an impossible situation, because then you have to answer the question, how many rules do I have to follow? How perfectly do I have to follow them? How many regulations do I have to keep, and where do I find all these regulations? Because y'all keep adding to them. What restrictions must I observe, and whose restrictions are they? Once you begin to try to answer those questions, you just left the freedom of grace, and you went right back into the bondage of legalism, trying to keep commandments and obey laws. You just voluntarily put yourself back into the handcuffs of religion and legalism. The only key that will unlock these handcuffs and open that prison door is the cross of Jesus, which is why Paul reminds them, before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. That verb, crucified, is in a tense that refers to something that happened in the past, but its effects are permanent and continue in the present and the future. Paul painted a picture of Jesus on the cross as the fountain from which the river of grace and mercy and peace was flowing. These Galatians had seen that Jesus is not just what they needed, but he is all that they needed. Amen? They understood what we need to understand, and that is the gospel is not an invitation for you to do anything for God. It is a declaration of what God has done for you. What Jesus did for you on the cross is not only what you need to be accepted by God, but it is all you need to be accepted by God. Amen? Amen. Just say out loud, I thank God I'm accepted by God. Thank you, Jesus. These Galatians were guilty of spiritual treason, because to say that Jesus is inadequate, Jesus is insufficient, and to add anything to Jesus is an insult to Jesus. If you don't see that Jesus is enough for you, you will never know when enough is enough, because it'll never be enough. Amen? If you don't see that Jesus is enough, you will never know when enough is enough, because nothing will ever be enough. Do you hear me? Thank you, Jesus. That is why we will always emphasize Jesus. We will always emphasize grace. We will always emphasize the gospel. We will always look to the Son. Why? Because He's all we need. He's enough. Amen? I don't care what your problems are. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you got in your bank account. I don't care what is in front of you. Jesus Christ is enough. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And all you got to do is understand that you don't have to do nothing but believe. Amen? That's it. No, it can't be that easy. I got to do something. I know you don't realize I sin in this area, right? You don't know about it. I sin in this area all the time, so I know I got to get that right before Jesus will. No. 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 You. The only thing you bring to the table is a yes, Lord. That's all. That's all. But you don't know me that well, preacher. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't care. That's all. Yes, Lord. Amen. And once you say yes, Lord, I always say this. It's like, you know those old stoves that you got to light the pilot for it to come on? When you say yes, Lord, He lights your pilot. And that spirit that is in you becomes alive. Amen. What you talking about, preacher? I don't know if I got that. Well, when you say yes to God, what happens is you can no longer sin comfortably. You sin, but it won't be comfortable. Amen? You remember in the past, you just did whatever you wanted to do, didn't think nothing twice about it, just did it. Well, everybody else is doing it. Now that the pilot's been light, when you fall short, the Spirit is going to say, no, that's the flesh. That ain't the Spirit, that's the flesh. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, Lord, forgive me. Amen? Because He lit your pilot. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And I testified a couple weeks ago about when I was coming up in the church and I got saved and I was so happy, and they said, now you got to tarry for the Holy Ghost. And I got up there, and Brother Fred, I don't know how many Sundays I went home sad and disappointed because I didn't think I got it. Amen? They said, no, you must be doing something. He ain't going to bless over mess. You got to get it right, and you got to just, and I was trying so hard because I wanted it so bad, and I didn't even realize I already had it. Already had it. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It was already in me. He already lit the light. I thought I had to do something to get it.
I'm crying, slobber it up. Please, Lord, please. I could see him now. He's like, get up, we're good. Let's go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to tarry, for the Holy Ghost is already here. It's his time. It's his dispensation. He's running things right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All you need to bring to a table is yes, Lord. And watch. Won't he turn your life around? Watch. Do I got a witness? Watch. Won't he change your thoughts? Watch. Won't he change your way? It ain't going to happen overnight. It ain't going to happen overnight. He's going to have to take you through some things. He's going to have to show you some, teach you some things. Amen? He might have to let you go through a few things so you know what it's like to depend on him. Amen? Because he wants you to fully depend on him. It's got to be all the way yes, not just a little bit. Amen? I give it all to you, Lord. Take my mind, take my soul, give it all to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When I got saved, there were some things in my life that I thought I could never give up. I went home thinking, woo, that's the best thing that ever happened to me, but I don't think I'm going to be able to give this up or give that up. And you know what? After a while, I didn't have no desire for those things anymore. It didn't happen overnight, but after a while, see, what happens is when the Spirit is lit inside you, he changes you to the point where you're just so thankful and so, your mind is so blown that he did what he did for you because you know you better than anybody else. And you think about, really, Lord? You love me that much? You love me that much? Because I know me and I ain't all good. But you love me that much, Lord? Whew. Thank you, Jesus. It make you want to do right. It make you want to talk right. It make you want to run and ain't nobody chasing you. It make you want to holler and ain't nobody bothering with you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I think it was, who was it? Jeremiah said, it's like fire shot up in my bones. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't always do it, but my heart wants to please God. I want to please him. I want to do right. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because he's been so darn good to me. Woo, and I didn't deserve it. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We have to continue to offer this liberating gospel. Amen. The rules and regulations are good, but until you get in the mix, until God starts showing you things, he takes care of all that anyway. You'll want to start doing well. Amen. But we got to understand that no part in this has to do with us. What had to be done has already been accomplished. That's why we can say to you, when you're in the midst of your problems, when you're crying yourself to sleep, when you don't know how this is going to, that's why I can say to you, in Jesus, you win. In Jesus, you have the victory. And you're saying, how do I have the victory? I'm crying. I'm all messed up right now. Because in Jesus, you have the victory. What needs to be done has already been done. All you got to do is stay the course. Trust him. Look to him. Acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Thank you, Jesus. Let us stand. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You died for us. You paid the full and final price. We say yes to you today, Lord. Our souls say yes. Our minds say yes. Our mouths say yes. Yes, Lord. Lord, we can't thank you enough for how good you've been to us, in spite of us. Hey, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, you love us so much, you're closer than a brother. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. And Lord, I thank you that you never leave our side. You just hang right with us, Lord. You stay right there. Amen, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. Hey, glory to God. We want to preach liberty in you, Lord. Because as long as we got you, everything else will be taken care of. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Glory to God. Touch our minds, touch our hearts, Lord. Bless us where we need it now, Lord. You know us all individually better than we know ourselves. As we walk away today, I pray that we don't walk away empty. I pray that the enemy don't steal nothing we've heard, but Lord, help us to heart it. To heart it so that we can meditate on it. Amen. We love you, we praise you, and we glorify you. I thank you for your people today. I thank you for this place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thank God. Amen.